Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful for your mercy and your goodness. Thankful for these believers that have assembled to hear a portion of your word expounded. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will provide each person the concentration needed to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We are moving now to Exodus 23, verses 22-33. And we'll be dealing that whole place, this with the blessings of obedience to Yahweh, to Yahweh's angel. Now this section of Exodus 23 verses 22-33 is the last element of the larger section that we indicated is concerned with laws governing Israel's community living. Now this is because this section still contains warnings to Israel concerning what they should avoid to ensure they will enjoy Yahweh's blessings. Now that said, our section is concerned with Yahweh's promise of appointment of an angel for Israel's benefit and various promises of blessings that are related to obedience to the leadership of the appointed angel. Now such blessings include the conquest of the land of Canaan and other personal blessings that will come to the people of Israel. Now, along with the blessings are warnings and responsibilities Yahweh assigned to Israel. Consequently, there are several headings used by commentators to describe this section. For example, there are those who capture the concern of the section using such titles as Conquest of Canaan Promised, or Reason, or Reasons for Loyal Obedience, or A Promise of the Lord's Presence, or The Angel and Promise, or The Angel of Presence, or really Promises and Instructions. Now each of these titles used by commentators no doubt captures the content of the section. However, it seems to me that an adequate title should capture the mention of an appointed angel and the blessings of the section. It is particularly important to mention that the angel in view here should be mentioned, because verse 20 begins in the words of the NIV, "I am sending an angel ahead of you," before actually the instructions that follow about Israel's response to the leading of the angel. Likewise, verse 23 begins with a sentence, "My angel will go ahead of you," before again further instructions and promises given to Israel in our section. This being the case, it is to me that the Holy Spirit wants us, it seems to me that Holy Spirit wants us to ensure that whatever form the title of this passage is presented, that it should immediately capture the attention of the reader or listener that the passage concerns first and foremost Yahweh's angel before any other thing. It is for this reason that we have given it the title of this section as The Blessings of Obedience to Yahweh's angels. So that's how we describe Exodus 23, verses 22-33, as being concerned with blessings of obedience to Yahweh's angel. Now the section of Exodus 23, verses 22-33, consists of three paragraphs. The first begins with a promise of sending to Israel Yahweh's angel with specific missions pertaining to Israel as given in verse 20. Now this is followed by the second paragraph consisting of verses 21 and 22 that is concerned with the command of obedience to the angel, bearing in mind there is consequence for disobedience of the angel's instructions. The third paragraph deals with the results of successful missions of the angel in verses 23-33. So our approach in the to study this section is to consider each paragraph to be by itself, although all paragraphs are related in the narrative section of Exodus 23, verses 22-33. But we do so, we consider each paragraph separately to help in focusing on the various messages each paragraph conveys to us. So we will deal with each separately, beginning, of course, with the first paragraph. So the first paragraph really is really concerned with the promise of an angel with specific missions. So that's the first paragraph. Promise of an angel with specific missions. And that reads this way in verse 20. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. So then, the message Yahweh intended to convey to Israel in this verse is that he promised to send to Israel an angel to guide them on their journey and to bring them to the promised land. Now this simple message to Israel was given to them as they traveled through the desert after they left Egypt while at Mount Sinai on their way to the promised land. Now their situation parallels that of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Israel was set free from bondage in Egypt so they could get to the promised land that God promised to their forefathers. Likewise, believers have been set free from bondage to sin and its consequences of eternal damnation, but are not yet in heaven. So we are on our way to our final destination, just as Israel was. Based on this similarity, the message of Yahweh to Israel that is applicable to us, and that message is this: God promised to guide and to bring you safely into heaven. Very simple. God promised to guide and to bring you safely into heaven. Now, although we cannot be certain whether the Holy Spirit brought to the mind of the apostle Paul this particular passage, but he certainly applied it as he stated his confidence in the Lord's ability to bring him safely to heaven, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 18 reads, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Thus, we can be assured that regardless of our struggles with sins and life's challenges, the Lord Jesus will bring us safely to himself in heaven. For after all, he promised that believers will be with him after he completes the place. Believers will stay with him forever after his promise in John chapter 14, verse 3. John chapter 14, verse 3. It is, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So anyway, it is important then that you remember and apply the message of verse 20 of Exodus 23 that we are about to consider. Again, the message is simply that God promised to guide and to bring you safely into heaven. So be that as it may then, Yahweh begins the verse 20, that we're about to consider, with a word that is intended to be an attention getter for Israel, so that the very first word in the NIV is "see, see." Now the word "see" is translated from a Hebrew word that may be used to liven a narrative or to change a scene, or really to emphasize an idea or to call attention to a detail, so that it may be translated into the English with such expression as "there," or "look," or even "now." All these are just a way to grab the attention of the hearer. So here the word is really used to call attention or to introduce an emphatic declaration or an asseveration. Now, so the emphatic declaration is given in the sentence of Exodus 23, verse 20, where it says, "I am sending an angel ahead of you." Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, "I am about to send an angel before you." Now, this sentence is difficult to interpret. And you say, what's so difficult? It says an angel. I'm sending an angel. It's not that simple. It's very difficult to interpret, as I'm going to show you. Now, the first problem that makes the sentence difficult to interpret is the speaker. The speaker. Now, the context suggests that the speaker is Yahweh. That was last mentioned in Exodus 20. Verse 22. Exodus chapter 20, verse 22. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 22 reads, "Then Yahweh said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourself that I have spoken to you from heaven.'" So the fact that Yahweh was the one that spoke the words of Exodus 23 verse 20 "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you," creating the major problem of the sentence, which is how to understand that word angel. Now, you know, many times people think, you know, to some extent, ignorance is a bliss. Well, to an extent, that may be true. But when it comes to the spiritual life, it's not. Ignorance is not bliss in the spiritual life. And many people are content with everything on the surface level. Don't want deeper things, but they want deeper things in material ways, but not in the spiritual. Anyway, the word angel is translated from a Hebrew word, malak, that may mean messenger. That is one that is sent, of course, with a message. It is in this sense that the word is used to describe the servants Jacob sent ahead of him to his brother Esau when he was returning from Canaan, as reported in Genesis chapter 32, verse 3. Now, I'm about just going to go through here just to show you the word messenger, malak, or angel, how difficult it is. Although on the surface it doesn't appear so. But we're going to see. Here we read in Genesis chapter 32, verse 3, says, "Jacob sent messengers." That word messengers, same Hebrew word translated angel, "sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom." Now the word may be used to describe a prophet, as it is used to describe prophet Haggai in Haggai chapter 1 verse 13. Haggai chapter 1, verse 13. Haggai chapter 1, verse 13 reads, "Then Haggai, Yahweh's messenger," that's malak, "Yahweh's messenger, gave this message of Yahweh to the people. I am with you, declares Yahweh." Now the word is also used for a priest as God's messenger in Malachi chapter 2 verse 7. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7. It is, "For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is a messenger," he is a malak, "of Yahweh Almighty." Figuratively though, the Hebrew word is used to describe wind as God's agent in Psalm 104, verse 3. Psalm 104, verse 3. And hold on to Psalm, because actually the one before that, I'll go to it shortly. Psalm 104, verse 4. Psalm 104 verse 4 reads, "He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants." You know, the world today is experiencing a lot of fire. And you guess who does this come from? They are his servants to do his bidding. Now the Hebrew word may refer to angels as heavenly messengers of God. As for example, still in that psalm, now go to 103, look at verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. He says, "Praise Yahweh, you his angels," plural, but it's Malek. "You mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word." So in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 20, the word is given the meaning angel. And there lies the problem. Now our Hebrew word is not used often in Old Testament scripture to describe individual angelic being. That word malak. See, a first use of the word angel that clearly refers to angelic beings as heavenly messengers is with those sent to destroy Sodom, according to Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis chapter 19, and hold on to Genesis. We're going to pick up about three or four more passages from Genesis for now. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 reads, "The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gates of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground." Now here we have angel, but it's in the plural. Now, in other instances, though, where the word angel is used in the singular for an angel, it often refers to the angel of Yahweh. Oh, it was angel of love, but it's really angel of Yahweh. Then, for example, when Jacob blessed Joseph's children, he referred to the angel that had protected him all his life, so to say, in Genesis 48 verse 16. Genesis 48 verse 16. It reads, Genesis 48:16 reads, "The angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth." Now the angel, Jacob, referred must actually be Yahweh. Now this is because it was Yahweh that appeared to him when he was fleeing from Esau and promised to watch over him, as we read in Genesis 28 verses 13 through 15. Genesis 28 verses 13 through 15. It reads, "That's when he had a dream. Said, there above it stood Yahweh, and he said, I am Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, so it is Yahweh that Jacob promised to pay his vow, and that will be his God, as stated still in that Genesis 28, look at verses 20 through 22. Verses 20 through 22. It reads, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then Yahweh will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So it's unlikely then that when Jacob referred to the angel who delivered him from all harm, that he had in mind any other being other than Yahweh. Now, this Yahweh, in some contexts, is indeed described as angel. So Yahweh promised to go down and deliver Israel from Egypt, as recorded in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. It is, Yahweh said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now, when Moses appealed him to king of Edom to grant Israel passage through their territory, he communicated to him that Yahweh sent an angel to deliver Israel out of Egypt, as recorded for us in Numbers chapter 20, verse 16. Now remember, all I'm arguing is that this angel is really the angel of Yahweh, one who delivered Israel. So here we see Moses saying, but when we cried out to Yahweh, he heard our cry and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. An angel. Now remember, we've read so far, Yahweh said, I come down and take them out of Egypt. So he says, now we are here at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. So the one Moses referred to here as an angel is certainly the one describe Adam as angel of God or angel of Yahweh, since the being that accompanied Israel in their travels is described as angel of God, as for example in Exodus chapter 14 verse 19. Exodus chapter 14 verse 19. It reads, "Then the angel of God, who has been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them." We studied this in detail, where that it represents Yahweh himself moving forth and back. Now, so the phrase angel of God then refers to the same divine being described as the angel of Yahweh in other passages in the Old Testament scripture. Now, my point is that, again, that the angel of God refers to the same divine being described as angel of Yahweh in other Old Testament scriptures. So let me prove this with Manoah's encounter with the being that announced the birth of Samson, Manoah's wife. Now, the divine being that appeared to Samson's mother is described as angel of Yahweh in Judges chapter 13, verse 3. Judges Now hold on to Judges chapter 13. We'll pick in a few verses there. Judges chapter 13, verse 3. It is, "The angel of Yahweh appeared to her," that's Manoah's wife, "to her and said, 'You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son.'" Now, Manoah's wife described the angel of Yahweh that appeared to her as a man of God, a man of God, but added that he looked like an angel of God, as recorded still in that Judges. Look at chapter 13, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 reads, "Then the woman went to her husband and told him, 'A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God.'" You think about me when she said that. That means there must be something in Israel where they have described angel of God. They must have talked about him quite a bit, because he said he looks like him. So they must have some idea of how he looked like, because he kept appearing as a human being. But that's the Lord Jesus Christ before the incarnation. Anyway, so that's what, as far as she's concerned, that appears like a man. So anyway, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. Now, since Manoah's wife did not know the name of the being she said looked like an angel of God, Manoah prayed to Yahweh for the return of the being that promised the birth of Samson. So Yahweh answered Manoah's prayer, but this time, when the divine being appeared, instead of being described as the angel of Yahweh, as in Judges chapter 13, verse 3 that we have just read, he was described as angel, the angel of God. Again, look at verses 8 and 9 of Judges 13. Look at verses 8 through 9. It is, then Manoah prayed to Yahweh, "Oh Lord," now this time, if you have your English Bible, you know I use Lord because if you notice upper lower cases, the rest where I've been using the word Yahweh is all caps, which is their way of trying to translate Yahweh. Anyway, say, "Oh Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." Now he was thinking fast. A child is about to be born. How are we going to raise this child? Because it must occur to him, this must be a unique child. My wife has been without, been pregnant for all these years, and there's no hope she will be. And now you say she's going to be pregnant. Okay, how are we going to raise that child? So that's what he says. Teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. God had Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field by her husband. Manoah was not with her. So again, from this passage in Judges chapter 13, there is still no doubt then that the angel of Yahweh is the same divine being called the angel of God. No doubt. Same being. The point we're stressing though is that for the most part, when the word angel is used in the singular in the Old Testament scripture, it is usually a reference to the angel of Yahweh. Even if the word Yahweh or God does not appear in the context, it will still refer in the singular to angel of Yahweh. Now we can demonstrate this further with Elijah's experience when he was fleeing from Israel because Jezebel threatened to kill him. So Elijah was first fed by a divine being called an angel. But later, the same angel was then described as the angel of Yahweh, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. First Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. It is, "Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. At once an angel touched him and said," not it was an angel, now this time single, right? "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of Yahweh came back. Now notice, say the angel of Yahweh came back a second time. Who came the first time? Angel. Just said an angel, right? But here it says, the angel of Yahweh came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Because this is one of those passages in the same context where I argue that if you're not digging ditches or doing some extraordinary hard tasking job, you should only eat twice a day. And that is based on the fact God who made our body knows that. And that's why he fed Elijah. He was sitting there doing nothing. So he fed him twice a day. And other times we also read that twice a day. And of course we've studied that in the 16th chapter where he gave Israel food for morning and evening. That's it. All these things that sometimes we don't recognize that we make ourselves miserable by gorging too much, by eating too much. Anyway, that's a different story. Anyway, you see, the angel then, in verse 5, is described as the angel of Yahweh in verse 7. So, unless there is something in the context in an Old Testament scripture that suggests that another angel is present who is not the angel of Yahweh, then it is most likely that angel used in the singular will refer to the angel of Yahweh. Now this being the case, we contend then that it is the angel of Yahweh that is described in the sentence of Exodus 23 verse 20, where it says, I am sending an angel ahead of you. Now remember what I said. Who is the speaker? I identified him in chapter 20 as Yahweh, as the speaker. Because he's the one that gave Moses instruction that we have been studying since chapter 20. So then, of course, Yahweh spoke in a way that implies that the angel is one associated with him as the same divine being, since only God the Creator could do what he said of the angel later. You see, Yahweh conveyed that the angel will not forgive Israel if they disobeyed him. An ordinary angel could not forgive sin, as that is an activity, a prerogative that belongs to the supreme God. Forgiveness of sin, in the ultimate sense, belongs to God, and God alone, the supreme creator. So, when he says later on, this angel will not forgive you. You see, it cannot be an ordinary angel. So an ordinary angel, again, could not forgive sin other than the Creator. So it could be confusing because we said that Yahweh is speaking to the one that is associated with him as the angel that he sent on a mission. Now here comes what we call revelation, something the human mind cannot ravel with. Here it is, that it sounds Yahweh speaking, and yet Yahweh is talking about the angel, speaking to him as an angel. So what is it? Well, here's one of those things, that here we have intentionally left, God intentionally left a hint of the plurality of persons in the Godhead. so that Israel will battle with it, but not enough to get them into idolatry. They just say, okay, angel of Yahweh, he spoke, an angel and Yahweh. And then Yahweh speaking. So, I mean, they'll scratch their head, I'm sure, as many of us will. But that was intended to give them a hint of the plurality of persons in the Godhead, which means a member of the Godhead is speaking to another member of the Godhead. That's what we have here. Anyway, our interpretation that the angel is the angel of Yahweh creates a problem of how then to understand the sentence of Exodus, I am sending an angel ahead of you. If the angel is the angel of Yahweh, how do we deal with that? Now, this is because the angel of Yahweh has been guiding Israel by manifesting his presence in form of pillar of cloud or pillar of fire, according to Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. It is, by day, Yahweh was ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Now, who is guiding them? Here he said, Yahweh went ahead of them. But now he said, I'm sending my angel. And Yahweh is the one speaking. And that's where the problem comes, because the human mind will be struggling. How do I reconcile that? You can't, because he was hinting to them the plurality of the persons in the Godhead. So then all I'm saying is, if the angel of Yahweh has been guiding the Israelites prior to their coming to Mount Sinai, how then should we understand again that phrase, the sentence or the promise? I am sending an angel ahead of you. Now, to begin with the sentence is literally, I am the sender of an angel to you or to your face. Or we can translate it, I am about to send an angel to your face. Now, so the literal translation indicates that the phrase to your face, being in the singular, is a reference to Moses, probably as a representative of Israel. Now, so being the representative of Israel, God spoke, Yahweh spoke to him alone. Now, that aside, it is probably that Yahweh, in this sentence, formally reminded Moses that he is the one that has been guiding them with the promise of the missions. He will continue to do so with this promise. Now you see, up to this point in Israel's Exodus, there has been no direct assertion of Yahweh's mission that he was carrying out. So it's most likely then that he identified himself as the angel of Yahweh. Now, from that point in Mount Sinai forward, will accomplish the specific missions stated in the text of West Garden. Now, the first mission, of course, of the angel is that of protecting or watching over Israel during the journey to Canaan, as in the verbal phrase where we're studying Exodus 23 verse 20. Look at it again. To guard you along the way. Now the word God is translated from a Hebrew word with a root. It's a word, shamar. It's a word with a root meaning of to pay careful attention to something. And so the basic meaning of the word is to keep, but with various nuances. For example, the word means to keep in the sense of being responsible for something or someone. And so it means to have charge of or to watch or even to guard. Thus, Jacob promised to be responsible for his uncle's flock in the sense of overseeing them according to Genesis chapter 30, verse 31. Genesis Genesis chapter 30 verse 31. It reads, "What shall I give you?" He asked as his uncle father-in-law. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied. "But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them." That word watching is it comes from the word shamar. That can mean to pay attention to something. Now, the word can also mean to be protected. To be protected. As in the promise, I've mentioned several times, and I will still mention it next week and the following week and the next one. And hopefully you can grasp that promise. Grasp God's promise of protection. Using our word, Shema, is recorded in Psalm 37, verse 28. Psalm 37 verse 28. It is, "For Yahweh loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones." They will be protected, that's our word. They will be protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. Anyway, in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 20, the word has the sense of to guard, that is, to keep watch over. In effect then, the angel will provide protective care over Israel in his first mission. As his first mission here. Now, the mission of the angel here should remind us of the fact that Jesus Christ is keeping protective care over us as we journey from this life into heaven. For after all, he prayed for our protection according to John chapter 17 verse 11. John chapter 17 verse 11 reads, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father." Look at that then. "Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Now the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, conveyed to the Thessalonians that the Lord Jesus is one that protects and strengthens them, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It reads, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Now similarly, Apostle Paul implied that the Lord will guard his life, and by implication, his salvation, until the final day of deliverance, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It reads, "That's why I am suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." So that is the first mission, protection. The second mission of the angel of Yahweh sent was to bring Israel to the promised land. It is this that is stated in the last clause of where we're studying, Exodus 23, verse 20, when it says, "And to bring you to the place I have prepared." Now that word "prepared" is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to be found. But in the Hebrew form, what is called hefel, used in our passage, it has several meanings. For example, it may mean to establish power or control over a kingdom, as it is used to describe Yahweh's family establishing David as king of Israel, according to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. Second Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. It reads, "And David knew that Yahweh had established him as a king over Israel, and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel." Now in our passage of Exodus 23:20, the Hebrew word is used with the meaning to prepare. To prepare. That is, of course, to make ready or suitable for a particular purpose. So the angel sent by Yahweh, who is the angel of Yahweh, will bring Israel to the place Yahweh have prepared for them, as in that sentence of Exodus 23:20 again, "the place I have prepared." Now the place in question is the land of Canaan, since those to be driven out by the Israelites were primarily the Canaanites. So anyhow, the fact that the angel will bring Israel to the promised land should remind you that God will bring you to heaven safely. His power will keep you safe until you arrive in his kingdom, as per what the promise of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. First Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. So, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, read as follows. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day or the last time. So, that, my fellow believer, is a promise. You can hang on your heart, just as Israel was promised of this same deliverance to the place prepared for them. So, our time is up, but let me end by reminding you of the message. Simple one, and that is that God promised to guide and bring you safely into heaven. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to challenge us to recognize what a faithful God we serve and to know that you are sustaining and keeping and preserving us on this planet. This is our request in Christ's name.